Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we're asking for you to help us, Lord. Lord, I ask you to bless the people this morning, dear God. I ask you to bless the mothers, especially, dear God, on this day. I ask, dear God, that you would just have your will in your way and guide us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated for a few moments. I come to you this morning with a heavy heart. Dear friend of the family passed away horrifically on Thursday evening. And somebody Brother Jim knew and somebody David's known his whole life. And it really had an effect on me. And he put the roof on the back of the church, and he put a new roof on our house and put new flooring in our house and put up some new doors and new trim work and roof over the back deck and I don't know, countless other things, took out a chimney and all kinds of work he done in our house. And everywhere I look, I just couldn't help the past couple of days just think about him. I just see him everywhere I look in our house. And there's been a couple different stories in the news about it. It's kind of hard to place exactly what just did happen, but he was 58 years old, and I guess it's another thing that bothers me. He's the same age as I am. And some 28-year-old drug head killed him, so. And I don't know exactly even what over. It's just a horrible picture painted in your mind. And it's been hard for me to get past couple of days. It's been hard for me to gather any thoughts. And I've just been having a real hard time with it. I guess I'm human just like you are, and it's really affected me. And you know, when you're around somebody so much and they become so close to you and they do so much for you, and he was supposed to be doing other work around our house and coming up, and so was going to have more time to spend with him. And he knew that I was a pastor for this church here where he put this roof on. And he knew that you know, and I served the Lord, and my thought was, why didn't I do more to get him saved? And but you always think you still got time. You know, he was going to be around for quite, you know. So it's been heavy on my heart the past few days. So y'all just bear with me this morning. I be honest with you, I came to church, didn't have a note one, didn't even have a scripture. And I hadn't been able to pull anything. I turned my computer on yesterday and left it on all day long and went in and out of the room and had nothing. And but there's a couple scriptures came to me after I got here today. And I'll do what the Lord will help me to do. And I want to wish all you mothers a happy Mother's Day. And I know I usually, on Mother's Day, I usually try to give a Mother's Day message. So I still had that in the back of my mind. And so that's what we'll just call this, is Mother's Day 2021. And so if you stand with me, we'll read a scripture. Scripture's found in Luke, the second chapter. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they supposed him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him was astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You may be seated. Pardon me. I've heard this scripture used many times by different ones, and to bring out different points. But I've never heard it used for a Mother's Day text. And yet, the thought that I had was, do you ever think what it might have been like to have been the mother of Jesus? He was a little boy just like all other little boys. He was born and he went through growing and maturing just like all other little babies did or do. And he wasn't born talking. He had to learn to talk. He wasn't born walking. He had to learn to walk. He had to learn things just like all other babies do. And Mary, you know, even though the angel had spoke to her, she knew that he was to be the Son of God. Yet Mary had all these times with him. Mary nursed him. Mary was there when he rolled over for the first time. Mary was there when he gave his first sounds. She felt the attachment to him just like any other real mother would. He was her baby. And she felt by him just like any real mother would their baby. And so you can see that, you know, the Bible even says him being 12 years old, he's still a child. And all of us understand that. We know, you know, yeah, sometimes the teens think they're all growing up, but they're still children. And if you just watch a little bit after a bit, they'll show it. They can't help it. There's nothing wrong with it, but he was a child. And she was attached to him as any mother would be. And they had, it wasn't just her and Joseph and Jesus that went to this feast. They had a company of them that went together, family and relatives and so on. And so when they left, they thought he was just in the company somewhere. And after they had journeyed the day, they got to inquiring throughout the other people in their company, and they couldn't find him. Can you imagine how frantic she felt? She couldn't find him. I know Sister Cindy knows what I'm talking about, because she had one that would hide from her. And you get frantic when you can't find them, and you don't know what to do, and you're about ready to call the law. You don't know what's happened to them. And you imagine just how frantic she was. And on top of that, she didn't find him in a couple hours. She searched for him for 3 days. Anything could happen to a child in 3 days. So it's no wonder when she finally found him that she was so taken up with finding him and looking for him for 3 days. This is why she said, "Why hast thou dealt with us like this? We've sought you sorrowing." In other words, anticipating something had happened to you. What would it be like to be the mother of Jesus? Now, the Bible tells us that he was tempted in all points such as we are. So, growing up, he had to be tempted with peer pressure, just like you were growing up. He had to be able to feel peer pressure, otherwise, because the Bible says that him being tempted, he's able to help those that are tempted. So for him to be able to help, he's got to know what it's like. And he can help teens that go through peer pressure. You know what peer pressure is. It's the pressure of your friends to get you to try to do something. Brother Branham felt it. He went through it. Peer pressure. They tried to get him to smoke. They tried to get him to drink. They tried to get him to do all these other things. And Jesus knows what it's like. So he knows how to help you when you're going through those things. And so it wasn't, in one way, it wasn't so much different than you raising your children. The Bible says that Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He had to learn things. He had to be taught. I know the Bible says he grew in wisdom. And we know God gave him wisdom. But he wasn't born with it. Because if he was born with it, the Bible couldn't say rightly that he grew in it. So you, with your being a mother, raising babies, raising little ones, raising children, raising teens. God knows what did you go through as a mother. And, you know, you don't quit being a mother. There isn't a cutoff or an age limit of your kids to where you quit being their mother. You're always their mother. And it doesn't matter how old they get, somewhere in your mind, they're still your little boy or your little girl. If you don't believe me, let somebody do something to them and see how you feel. And so motherhood is forever in this life. Mary later on knew what it was like to lose a son. And it was God's son. So God knew what it was like to have death take your son. Jesus, knowing what it's like to be tempted in all the ways in which like we're tempted, said that Paul said there's no temptation that's taking you such as what not is common to man. And it said that he's not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye were able. So there's nothing coming your way or has come your way or will come your way that you're not going to be able to overcome, because you're not doing it on your own. When you give your life to God and you've accepted the Holy Ghost, you're not doing it on your own to overcome. There's something in you that's helping you overcome. And sure, you'll make mistakes, and there may be times where you'll face with something and you'll be like, well, I didn't overcome it. Well, that's the thing about God. If you fail a test, he just has you take it over again until you pass it. So don't sweat it. You'll have to take it over again. I heard one preacher say, when you fail it, study about why you failed it. And so that the next time, you'll be able to see it coming. In our trials that you may go through as a mother, God is there to help you. If you don't know what to do, you can go to him and ask him. When the child's sick, when the Bible says they shall lay hands on the sick, it ain't just talking about preachers. It's talking about believers. It ain't just talking about men. It's talking about women too. If you're a believer, you can lay hands on your child and believe that word and they'll recover. That's the Bible. He's there to help us. When you have a child, they don't hand you an owner's manual at the checkout of the hospital or wherever you've had the child at. They don't hand you an owner's manual like they do when you get a new car. Whereas if you have a trouble with your car, you can go in the owner's manual, look through it, and go to the troubleshooting part of it and kind of figure out what's wrong with it. But you don't have one of them when you have children. You don't got a troubleshooting guide. You got to rely on God to help you. And God has given mothers wisdom. And he's given mothers understanding. And he's given mothers eyes in the back of their heads. If you don't believe it, it's true. It sure seems like it. Nothing gets past mother. They know what's going on. And it's like they're like a superhero. They know. Sometimes you think you might get by with something, but mama always end up knowing. As my wife used to tell our children when they were little, she said, "The Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out." And a lot of times kids will end up telling on themselves. But moms get where they, because they're around you so much, they get where they can read you pretty good. If you're telling one, a little child telling one, well, mama usually will know that they're telling one. They got telltale signs and things, you know. Every once in a while you might get one that could be pretty convincing, but I remember when my brother was little, he was just a toddler, I remember. And he was the kind of toddler that got into things. If he could get off away from mom for a little bit, he was definitely going to be into something. And he got off away from her, crawled upstairs to her bedroom, and pulled clothes out of the drawer and got a hold of the thing of baby powder, and there was baby powder everywhere. And when mom come up there and found him, he looked at her and he said, "A big dog come in and done this." You know, and of course she knew that. She knew who done it. And he got away from her one time. She had made my dad, I don't know if you've ever heard of them Texas sheet cakes. They make them on a cookie sheet, and they're kind of flat like chocolate cakes. And she made one for my dad for his birthday, but dad was gone out preaching on the field somewhere, and so he was going to come home later that evening. So she had made this cake, and she put it up on my dad's desk to try to keep my brother out of it. And she missed him, and when she found him, he was sitting at the desk eating that cake. And when she opened the door and saw him, he looked at her with chocolate all over his face. He said, "I'm just studying." You know. But moms know what that's like, you know. And I'll tell you something, friends. Jesus wasn't no different. When he was a toddler, if he could get away from his mama, he probably got into stuff too. Because he was a baby just like all other babies. Some people try to make him something that actually, what they make him is something that could not feel temptation like you do. They try to make him somebody who could not feel the things you feel as a human. And, you know, they said, well, Jesus was divine. That's true. But he was also a man. When he went on the ship, and he was wore out from preaching and wore out from healing people and people pulling on him, why, he fell asleep in the back of the boat. He was a man. But then the divine part stood up there and spoke to the storm and said, "Peace, be still." So he was divine, but he had to be a man. He had to be human
He had to go through human things. And I just had that on my mind this morning. And that's why the thought came to me, what would it be like being the mother of Jesus? And I thought, not really much different than you, because you know something? You're mothers of sons and daughters of God. Just as Jesus belonged to God before he came to Mary, your little ones belonged to God before God entrusted them to you. And they still belong to God. And that's why when they, you know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way it should go, and when it gets old, it'll not depart. That's why when they kind of depart along the way, you can have faith to pray God to bring them back, because they belong to God. God just entrusted you with them. Little gifts, little bundles of joy. And you know what? We got to get to a place where we don't love them with just a filial love if we want to see them saved. We got to get to a place where we love them with an agape love. And what I mean by that is, be willing for anything to happen just to get them right with God. Be willing for anything to happen to them just to get them right with God. Even if it comes down to death's door and death end up taking them. Just something where something that'll shake them and get them back where they should be and get them right with God. Well, with the agape love, what you become concerned with is their soul. Not their excuses or the little other things that they say and do, but you're concerned with their soul. You want them to be right with God. You know we're going in a rapture. You know we're at the end time. Some of y'all sitting here, you may have said, I've heard that from the time I was little, that we were at the end time. I did too. But I can look back at those times when I was little and look what was going on in the world then look what's going on in the world now, and I can tell you we've got closer. We're at the door. Little ones need to be under the right teaching, the right atmosphere. Be around the right things. Let them, when they get old enough to learn songs, let them learn songs about praising the Lord. You know, not all this worldly stuff. And you hear them singing those songs and they'll bless you. Maybe they might only know a few words and they'll just sing them words over and over again, but it's still a blessing. And then, you know, some of you here aren't just mothers, you're grandmothers. And sometimes, you know, you're a little different toward your grandkids maybe than you were toward your kids, because you're not having to raise your grandkids usually. You can spoil them a little bit. But you still care for them just as much as if you were their own mother. And you care for your children, you care for your daughters that are mothers. It makes you proud when you see them being a good mother. It makes you proud when you see them taking care of their children and how they love their children and want the best for them. They have to learn just like you learned. You didn't get married and say, well, let's have children. I know how to be a mother. You didn't know no more about being a mother than nothing. A lot of times you have your first child, you relying on your mother to help you. What do I do now? There, this or that's going on with them. You know, they're a little colicky. What do I do? You know, and they're crying, and you're like, what's wrong with them? You check the diaper, and the diaper's okay, and you know you just fed them, and you know, and nothing's pinching them, and you know, and you're thinking, why are they crying? And they can't tell you. And sometimes they maybe have an upset stomach. Or maybe sometimes they're cutting teeth and they just don't feel good. And they don't know how to tell you they don't feel good. And so you got to go through, mothers go through like a checklist, a mental like checklist. They check this and check that and check this and check that about the baby until they finally figure out what's wrong with the child. Brother Branham says in one place, he says, you know, you might think, well, I'll teach my child to ring a bell when it wants something. He said, no, that won't work. God's given ways for them to cry. And he said, when you need something from God, that's God giving way for you to cry out to God. Cry out to God. God will be there to help you. My mother's coming in to visit. She's coming in Tuesday. Going to stay with me for 3 weeks. And I'm looking forward to that. And I got with her back at the end of, or at the beginning of March, I guess it was. And told her, when was she thinking about coming to see me? And I'd buy the ticket. And so she said, when's a good time? I said, well, April or May, either one's a good time. And she said she'd come in May, so I said, all right. So I looked at the calendar, and I thought, well, there's Mother's Day in May, and then there's my mom's birthdays in May. So I thought, how can I get my mom to stay with me longer? So I said to her, come on Tuesday after Mother's Day. That way my brother can spend Mother's Day with you. And you stay until June the 2nd, and that way I can spend your birthday with you. She agreed. She said, you think you can put up with me that long? And I said, well, sure. You know, when it comes to your mother, it ain't nothing to do about putting up with them. Man, they're your mother. You love them. And, so I'm happy that she's coming in to visit, and so let's stand. Remember Brother Phil in prayer. He's on vacation this weekend. He'll be back next weekend with us. But he had texted me last weekend and told me he was going to be gone this weekend and taking a vacation, and so I just remember him in prayer. God bring him back safe, our precious brother. And just remember me in prayer this week. Remember David. It was hard on David too about Gary Baker was his name. Gary Baker. And
I've never had anybody that close to me die of a horrific death and be actually murdered by somebody. I've never had anybody real close to me. I ain't to say I ain't had relatives been murdered, but I wasn't close to them. But they were like third cousins or something, you know. And I never really ever got to really know them or got close to them. But this man, I got close to. And he was a really good person. And so just remember me in prayer. Amen. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings now on the people, on the mothers, dear God, and on the service and the words that have been spoke. Pray they've been a help to the mothers. Lord, pray you'll go with us, Lord. Many of them got plans, things, I guess, maybe to do with their mothers. I pray you'll give them a good time, Lord, the mothers. And Father, you'll have a blessed day today. Lord, we ever give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.